I have said before that this passage from Romans is the reason I am a Christian. When I first came across it, I was in middle school, and the turbulence of adolescence had me despairing at the very conundrum which Paul describes going through himself, that of wanting to do what is good and right, and somehow not doing it. I do not understand my own actions, he says. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. Hearing a grown man from 2,000 years ago articulate so succinctly the very same and very pressing problem I felt for myself was a powerful experience. I felt seen. And since Paul, struggling with the same inability to live up to his highest ideals for himself, could find refuge and strength and salvation, not condemnation, in Jesus Christ, then I was willing to try it too. In my decades of discipleship since hearing this passage for the first time, I won't claim to have solved this conundrum, though I hope I have made at least a little bit of progress. But if anything, I have noticed just how common and often how wide this gap is between our ideals, our hopes, our dreams for ourselves, and our actualities, our abilities to accomplish them and live them out. And this is true, I know, for each one of us as individuals, but also true more broadly, like, say, for a country. A country who maybe happened to celebrate a semi-quincentennial birthday yesterday. My family and I spent much of the last couple of days steeping up in Williamsburg. Melinda, my wife, was part of the choir singing for Williamsburg's America 250 celebrations, which, if you haven't heard, in a neat little coup for our corner of the country, was the concert that PBS chose to broadcast nationally. So if you missed it, you can hopefully still go online and watch it. We were all very excited about this, but in the back of my mind, I was a little worried, because sometimes our patriotic celebrations get laced with theological language, creating an impression of America as divinely founded and favored over and above other nations and peoples. Despite what some may claim, we are not a Christian nation, nor were we created to be a Christian nation by our founders or by God. I believe God loves individuals, not nation states. And God loves Americans just as much as he loves the citizens of the smallest islands in the South Pacific. If Jesus had wanted to form a government and start a country, he would have. But he didn't. His revolution was one of the heart and soul and life, meant to be played out in our common life, but not equated with it. All of which is to say, I was a little concerned with how these celebrations would agree with me. But I'm glad to report they went down pretty well, because there were very few parts that fell into this fabrication of making us sound like a perfect people in a divinely favored land. What came through more powerfully and more persuasively was the celebration of America as an idea. As an idea, America is remarkable. As an ideal, the Declaration of Independence was exceptional for its time. As a dream, America is divinely inspired. But anyone who thinks we have achieved that ideal have actually fully lived up to the principles promised in 1776 has not adequately confronted the gap which St. Paul pointed out all those years ago, that distance between what we want to do and what we actually do, who we want to be and who we actually are. And that gap was there from the beginning, 250 years ago, when those glorious ideas of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, those inalienable rights said to have been given to all men, were completely denied to whole races or genders of people in a land wiped clean of the native populations who were here long before us. That all rang hollow before the ink was even dry. Now, this gap between America as an idea and America as an actuality has waxed and waned since, but it has never closed completely. We seem to be able to will what is right, but somehow can't quite do it. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are still not enjoyed equally and by everybody in our land. Now, don't get me wrong, there have been moments where we flew close enough to those principles to make real progress, measurable expansions of those rights to more and more people. But at the same time, those moments have also resulted in strife and struggle and division, as many have resisted living even more fully into who we said we already are, and yet never quite have been. All of which wouldn't necessarily be a problem if not for the fact that nowadays, acknowledging this, even suggesting America is not perfect, never has been, likely never will be, is cast by some as unpatriotic, even seditious. This is not only absurd, it is untrue. Because if our 250 years have shown us anything, it is that often those who have had the courage to hold our country to its founding promises and to offer critique of its shortcomings were the ones who believed most strongly in its ideals. They loved the idea of America so much that they would not let that gap remain and challenged it to realize those principles, to keep trying to get it right. It is out of love for America that we hope it can live up to its highest potential. And it is out of love for it that we should caringly but unsparingly point out when we are not doing it. In this sense, I think the most patriotic thing we can do is to celebrate America as a work in progress, lauding its ideals, committing to striving for them ever more fully, and still recognizing where we fall short of them. We are not perfect. Our founders and our national heroes were far from perfect. And insisting we are belies a fragile national ego, not a strong one. Which is a point often made by one of the people who happened to be featured last night in Williamsburg. The documentarian Ken Burns, possibly the foremost modern chronicler of America, he clearly loves our country, but is also honest and astute in his assessment of it. And in a recent interview that I read, he spoke to this very point of the dangers of America insisting too much on its own perfection and exceptionalism. He said, "I think Americans do really well when they are liberated from the tyranny, the oppression of this idea of exceptionalism. Where we get distracted by our own exceptionalism, we become certain. And in that certainty, we make others wrong and we make enemies. This notion," he goes on, "that we have about heroes as being perfect is ridiculous. And so we," that's him and his crew, "are looking at these stories of America not as examples of perfection. We actually have these stories to remind us of the imperfections of us all. And so we would not be looking for perfection as much as we want to build a system," he says. And that's where I think this American system is so interesting. A system that has this notion of getting better, of becoming, of the pursuit of happiness, of a more perfect union." This is well said, I think. And I would only add that it is actually in this commitment to the process of becoming, the striving for improvement, and the confrontation with our failures, yet our willingness to keep trying to do what is right, it is in this that America is at its most Christian. Not in triumphant, gory glory riding forth to conquer in the name of Christ, but in an ever fuller awareness of our sins and shortcomings. An even more comprehensive analysis of the ways in which life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness has been and is denied people. For as St. Paul makes clear, And as I hope each of us who aspire to be a disciple of Christ have learned in our own lives, the Christian faith is not about perfection. It is about striving for perfection. It is a process of becoming that which we were created to be, but are not yet. It's about failing, and yet not giving up. That we can engage in that process together is something worth celebrating and protecting. And applying this same principle to our country would, I believe, rather than undercut patriotic fervor, serve as the catalyst for even greater patriotic achievement. As we all become, I pray, even more who we were created to be in the 250 years to come. Amen.